Hello and welcome to the Woman of Inspiration in STEM podcast series. My name is Theo Gibson. This podcast is brought to you by eVelocity. eVelocity is a registered charity that is inspiring young Kiwis into sustainable engineering while fast-forwarding New Zealand's clean tech future. Since 2014, they have been providing Year 7 to 13 students across New Zealand with an opportunity to design and build their own electric vehicles. Now, the purpose of this podcast series is to shine some light on the women in the global STEM workforce. Women make up only 29% of the global STEM workforce. That must change. We have a responsibility to ensure that the next generation of wahine see themselves reflected in STEM fields and know they belong. So you might be asking yourselves who I am. Well, my name is Theo Gibson. I have a long history with EVs, pretty much in the early days of electric vehicles in New Zealand. It's at one stage in my life, I picked up a book and decided to convert a petrol car to electric, which I did. By the time I finished doing said car, I was the 40th road legal vehicle in the country. This is pre-2012, so we're talking pre-Nissan Leaf. None of the, you know, I think the Tesla Roadster was first on the road back then. I've also been a judge on the eVelocity program here in Auckland, and I used to host and produce the New Zealand Electric Vehicle podcast, which ran for 3 years. Again, that was still in the early days of EV adoption in New Zealand. I've always been quite keen on sustainable technologies, even though I'm not an engineer myself. My day-to-day job these days is running a company called Audiobooks New Zealand, where we make audiobooks and we make podcasts as well. So sustainability and audio, both a beautiful thing. Anyway, today on the show, I'm talking to Julia Softman, who works for Dawn Aerospace.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me on the line. So where in the world are you at the moment?
I'm currently in the Netherlands because I'm on a business trip in the Dutch office.
Cool. So maybe you could break down to people what you do.
Yeah, sure. I'm a spacecraft mechanical engineer, as you said correctly, working for Dawn Aerospace. We've got two parts to our company. One is building a space plane, and the other side is building in-space propulsion. And my role is mostly focused on the in-space propulsion side of things, where I design tanks, propellant tanks, for satellite propulsion systems, and also take care of like structural analysis of the systems.
That sounds so cool. So how long have you worked for Dawn Aerospace doing this role?
I think it's been a bit more than 2 years.
Wow.
2.5 years. My background's actually aerospace engineering.
Wow. Okay. So how did you become an aerospace engineer? What was the driving factors that kind of pointed you in that direction?
Yeah, it's actually been a bit of a random trip to become an aerospace engineer for me. So a long time I wanted to study medicine.
Wow.
Talked to a bunch of doctors and they recommended not to do it. So I actually thought, what else am I interested in? Most of it was related to science and technology. And so I was like, oh, I also really love automotives. So I actually studied aerospace engineering to become an automotive engineer.
That's crazy. So was there any one person who inspired you to get into the aerospace side of things?
No, not really, actually. So there's not many academics in my family, and I just really like cars. I come from the Nürburgring area in Germany.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was always a fan of fast cars.
Yeah.
And that's probably what led me to, want to work in automotive. Yeah.
That's cool. There's a few fast cars around going around the Nürburgring, just a few.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, but rockets are fast. Space planes are pretty fast.
Even faster, yes.
Yeah. So how long did it take you to train in your chosen field then?
So when I decided to become an aerospace engineer or study aerospace engineering, I decided to do so at TU Delft in the Netherlands. Funny enough, I'm now back at where it all started at the moment. And the bachelor's takes 3 years here and the master's takes two. The bachelor took me a little longer because of some extracurricular activities. And so in total, it took me about 5.5 years.
So it's basically the same as being a doctor anyway. 5 years,
almost,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Almost.
Wow, that's cool. And so you jumped into aerospace, you did your training. So what was the next step after that? I guess apprenticeship somewhere, right?
No, so for me, it was just a bachelor's and master's.
Yep.
I did a whole bunch of internships and extracurricular while I was
while
doing
studying.
My
yep.
bachelor's and master's. Yeah, correct. So yeah, did formula student as an extracurricular activity, did a internship with a race team, endurance race team at the Nürburgring.
Cool.
During my master's, I went to defense science and technology in Melbourne to
yes.
be a bit more focused on aerospace.
Wow.
And but then I decided to do my thesis with Mercedes AMG.
Yes. Oh.
And then after that, actually, so I finished my master's with my thesis at AMG and then actually drifted back to aerospace. And started working on the NASA SOFIA plane, which
right.
is a flying telescope. I'm not sure if you've heard of this before.
I've heard of many NASA planes, but I don't know if it's the one we're talking about.
So the NASA SOFIA plane is a stratospheric observatory for infrared astronomy.
Wow.
That's what SOFIA stands for. So it was a big Boeing 747 special performance.
Yes.
With a telescope in the back, 17-ton
wow.
telescope.
Wow.
Yeah. So I relocated to California and worked on that as a telescope mechanical engineer.
Okay. And so does it just, I'm just curious around the technicals about it. So does it fly in the stratosphere? How high up does it go, this Boeing? How high can it get?
So the highest I flew in it, and I think it was the maximum that we could do, was 45,000 feet.
Wow.
So we would be above the average aircraft.
Yeah. Interesting. That sounds exciting. So you got a taste. So you got a taste of some really interesting projects straight out of the gate, basically.
Absolutely, yeah. I would say that's probably a once in a lifetime opportunity I got there. Sophia is also retired by now, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was definitely a sweet gig coming straight out of uni, moving to California near Los Angeles, and
yeah, amazing.
Yeah, working on this very unique vehicle.
What's the competition like in this area of expertise? Because I don't imagine a lot of people would study it because of the work required, or is there quite a lot of competition?
Oh, that's a good question. I think aerospace is getting more and more popular.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
There's like way more industry now in
yes.
that area.
It's cool.
Than there used to be.
It's on YouTube.
I mean, yeah,
you know,
exactly. It's
yeah.
cool. It's fun, yeah. exciting, and challenging.
Yeah.
We were like, I think 300 when we started.
Yeah.
But it's also not an easy study.
No.
After a year, I think we were down to 100 students
yeah.
out of
wow.
the 300.
Wow.
Because you do need the science background and the mathematics background.
Yeah, totally.
And they teach you, or they don't teach you, they can't really teach you, but they do emphasize to think outside the box, also do some critical thinking and so on.
Yes.
And yeah, there's a bit of competition in a way, but I think a lot of the aerospace students also don't necessarily end up in the aerospace industry.
Right.
If I look back at uni mates of mine, some are at ASML, others have their own company, or
yeah.
some went to work for companies or research institutes in the United States.
Yeah.
Others, classically for the Netherlands, started at Shell
yeah.
or ExxonMobil.
Classic.
Yeah, so we're all over the place.
Yeah. Wow, that's really interesting. So how did you get to Dawn then? What was your process there?
Yeah, that was another interesting story. Sophia took me around the world. As soon as I started on Sophia, I was asked if I want to go to New Zealand for a deployment. And I was like, oh yeah, that's exciting. I did backpacking there in 2010-11. I haven't been back since.
Yeah.
It's great that work is taking me there because I never expected to be back in New Zealand studying aerospace engineering.
Yes.
Because back in the days, it was, I think, Rocket Lab and
yeah.
not much else.
Yeah, yeah.
I might be wrong, but That's a
That's my understanding as well.
So I went in 2018 on a business trip, then went back again in 2019. So we would always come in winter and to Christchurch. And at the Rickettenhausen Bush Market in Christchurch, I ran into old uni mates of mine. And I was like, "Ooh, what are you doing here?" And then they told me about Dawn.
Wow.
And I showed them around Sophia. They showed me around Dawn. And I was like, "Man, this is actually really exciting what you're doing. I want to be part of this at some point."
Yes.
And then, yeah, COVID happened. And a few years later, I finally made it. And ended up in New Zealand, living in Christchurch, working for Dawn Aerospace.
Oh, fantastic. So at the moment, so I guess you're back and forth overseas, depending on where you're at in the project. So how long are you out of New Zealand for at the moment?
I'm working from the Dutch office for 4 weeks, but I'm nearly finished over here. And then I'll take some annual leave to see family, since I'm from Germany. Yeah, take the time to actually catch up with family and friends.
Nice.
And then I'll be back in New Zealand in about a month's time.
Fantastic. So if you don't mind me asking, so what kind of age were you when you finished your studies?
Oh, that's a good question. 26 or 27,
I think.
Yeah. Because we finished high school with 19 at the time.
Yeah.
And then I took a gap year. No, sorry. Yes. And then I took a gap year.
Yeah.
And yeah, so plus 5.5 years. So yeah, around about 26, 27.
Wow. And what would you say the average age of students or people going into this field are?
I'd say the majority of students was probably like a year younger than me.
Yeah.
When they were very talented.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 years younger.
Yeah. Cool. And what other jobs? So say you've got 100 people coming out of your particular course. What kind of jobs could they go into if you were studying in this area?
Oh, all sorts of areas.
Because as you say, it doesn't have to be aerospace, does it?
Correct. Yeah. Like even if you study aerospace, it's a whole lot of like mechanical engineering mostly.
Yeah.
Which is just, yeah, applied to aerospace.
Yeah.
We've had courses which potentially normal mechanical engineering, well, define normal, right?
Yeah.
Other mechanical engineering degrees don't do. We had quite a focus on like aerodynamics as well, quite early on in year one and two, as well as like flight performance and flight systems related things, space systems courses. And then we'd always have like projects to, I guess, intensify the knowledge and actually make use cases or practice on use cases. I decided to do my master's in structures and materials. Mm-hmm. So even more like classic mechanical engineering in a way, but focused on like lightweight design. Since aerospace, you were every gram or especially kilogram counted at the time.
Yeah.
Whereas you can do all sorts of things. You can do controls, instrumentation, space systems, flight performance. But in the end, it's all the math that they teach.
Yes.
The basic mechanics, dynamics, and so on. That's the same as in mechanical engineering. So you can do all sorts of things with this degree. You can go into automotive, I had intended.
Yes.
You can do the classic mechanical engineering. You could do hydraulics.
Wow. Actually,
we've got people who started in Formula One.
Yep.
Wow. So, yeah.
It's so cool. The whole area is so interesting now. I wish I could go back and redo all my studies and become a mechanical engineer, because the different types of materials and the design concepts and things coming through that, whether it's aerospace or automotive, it's fascinating now. The materials you come up with, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's actually so much you can do with that. In my like master's degree, I learned a lot of like novel materials as well.
Yeah.
Like self-healing materials and like that they're using in concrete, or they're using special coatings to avoid algae on buildings or boats. So yeah. Think about like you name it.
Yeah, I've probably come up with it. Wow, crazy. What would you say the kind of ratio of men to women in aerospace is?
Yeah, that's the one catch if you study something like mechanical or aerospace, or even electrical engineering.
Yeah.
The woman participation is fairly limited. I'd say out of the 300 students we were in year one, we were probably like 10 girls.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've heard like in other areas, it's even less. But yeah.
Wow.
That's the norm. But there was never a problem for me. I always liked hanging out with boys. I played a bit of football when I was younger.
And yeah.
It wasn't really a big deal. Like, they accepted me as theirs.
Yeah.
Normal friend, like their mate.
Yeah.
I never had any issues in uni or anywhere.
So do you have any pointers for young women who want to get into the sector in terms of getting into the industry?
Yeah, being aware that you're one of the few women there.
Yeah.
And you'll hang out with the boys is a given.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, I think just if you're interested in engineering, just or in any sort of science or STEM, like, stick with it. Don't get intimidated by this men's field or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Not true.
Yeah.
There's women in engineering, but we also, in our company as well, we've got female machinists and female technicians. So I say, build the scientific and math knowledge. Make sure that you've got like a strong foundation. Just like if you're interested in engineering specifically, just build things.
Yeah.
You probably start with Lego when you're younger.
Yeah, totally.
Build like rockets or rocket clubs at UC and so on, Formula students, build robots or whatever interests you. Let out that creative side.
Totally.
Totally. Yeah. That's my advice. So get that hands-on experience early on and as much as you can.
Find some keen supporters and get in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
How's it been? It sounds like you've got quite a busy life, like zipping around the world. And how's that in terms of juggling your kind of work life and family? And how's that in the?
That's a good question. I have to say, for me, I was always very focused on building my career. I also thought, being a female in the industry, I need to make sure that I don't stop or pause to be successful.
Yeah.
So, my work-life balance is sometimes a bit poor because I do put work in front of everything else.
Yes.
But I'm working on that. But it's when you enjoy the work you do, because it's quite as you said before, it's quite a thrilling area.
Totally.
Then it doesn't feel as much as like work.
No.
Now some other work might.
That's great.
Yeah.
You got to tell me what little you can, but this space plane you're making, is it like a replacement for the space shuttle?
No. So the space plane that we're building is not manned, and it's not planned to be manned. It's mostly like autonomous. Like, we've got a pilot that's flying it, but it can also fly autonomous.
Yeah.
Currently, it's like the size of a car. So it's a demonstrator vehicle, and the intent of it is to... Oh, and we've proven this now, is to...
Always helps.
Go, like, we went up to 80,000 feet.
Nice.
And faster than the speed of sound.
Wow.
And now, you might have seen the news that we're also taking orders. So you can now also buy a space plane from us.
Cool.
Yeah, get in touch. We'll hook you up. We'll build you one.
Cool. So what is the use for this space plane?
And so the idea behind this is to upscale it. And often you say rockets, people building a reusable rocket.
Yeah.
But they're not fully reusable.
No.
There's certain components that come back that you can reuse.
Heat shields need to be replaced or whatever. Yeah,
but the idea here is that the vehicle is an aircraft.
Yes.
So it's a rocket-powered aircraft.
Yes.
It will take off from a normal airfield, and it will carry a second stage. So it will take off, go up to about 100 kilometers, the edge of space, and release the second stage, carry satellites, and then we'll bring satellites into orbit.
Nice.
And the first stage, the space plane, will then come back and land at a normal airfield.
And away you go again.
There with you reach 98 or whatever, 95% reusability, because...
Totally.
The only thing that you're having to refill is fuel.
Yes. So a delivery mechanism for the satellite is expendable.
What do you mean when you say expendable?
Like the second stage that delivers the satellite, is that part of the plane?
No, so that will be separate. So that will be released into space. Cool. Yes. Yeah. But the idea here is that the plane itself to launch or take off 2 to 3 times a day.
Wow. That's a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah, and because you'll be compliant with airspace regulations, you don't have to look out for launch windows.
Yeah,
You can hopefully just blend in with the normal air traffic. So Lantana, obviously New Zealand doesn't have the busiest airspace.
No.
But as, for example, the Lantana where we used to fly so far, there's also there's helicopters around and sightseeing planes. There's jets down in New Zealand that are flying over the area, and we are integrating into that airspace.
Yes. And is that why they've based Dawn in Christchurch? Because it's quieter than the North Island?
Well, that's a good question. I don't actually know why exactly they chose Christchurch in the end. Potentially because it's closer to places like Lantana, which has that open airspace up to 80,000 feet.
Yeah.
And soon we'll be launching from Tāwhaki.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe because it's a bit less busy
comparison
to the North Island. Also, it's like a, I think, great place for people to live.
Yes. You know, it's an up-and-coming city, old Christchurch.
Yeah. It's not a far commute normally, like within 30 minutes, probably from anywhere in the city, you can get to work, get to into the city center.
Yeah. Unlike Auckland.
and it's also cheaper living.
Yes, totally.
So I think, it's got some perks to it.
Yeah.
And I could assume that was also in the mind of the founders when they chose a location.
Yeah, fantastic.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I will ask that.
Yeah. So have you had any mentors along your journey?
Not really, I would say.
Yeah. I've been very fortunate. Often I speak with people who are like, oh, I wouldn't have made it without this person. But you've actually done it all by yourself. Fantastic.
Yeah, I was very
driven.
Self-inspired and driven.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've had my family, my parents, who were very supportive with my life choices and career. And they, support the decisions I make. And same as my sister and the rest of the family, they gave me that support system. That you need when you want to be successful.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that not necessarily mentors that came with the experience in the field, but for the support that you need. And
family mentors.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. So I guess I think we've probably covered off everything, but I got three more questions and they're just small ones. Firstly, what did you do for your master's with AMG Mercedes?
I worked on, how do I explain this? Basically on the roof system of the GTR for the GTR Black Series.
Yes.
And they're made of carbon composite. And it was to develop a new way to apply like a support structure.
Yeah.
And at the same time, like an adhesive bond between the roof and the rest of the body.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? All these new materials.
Yeah.
You don't quite know how they're going to react.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also depending on what sort of adhesives you use on composites, it can actually, on the surface on the other side, it can actually cause print through.
Yes.
So you can see where the adhesive, when it shrinks, where it pulls.
Yes.
And since we're working with Class A surfaces, like you want that perfect finish.
Yeah, totally.
And no obstructions. And when you look at it, you want to avoid any sort of print through and other effects.
Wow.
So it's not as easy as it might sound.
Yeah, no, I don't imagine it's easy at all. When you're at university, so I imagine you get trained quite extensively in the science and the mathematics and also the AutoCAD and the software that goes with designing all this stuff.
Correct. Yeah, you learn, basically the basics, or refresh the basics, such as mathematics, calculus, and so on, mechanics, dynamics, CAD, so computer-aided design.
Yeah.
We learned CATIA back in the days. Now I use SolidWorks. So, but once you learn one, you can let that
apply that to any
training.
Yeah,
you learn FEA, so yep. finite element analysis. Yeah. But we also did, as I said, I mentioned before, we did a whole bunch of projects to actually have proper use cases to use those skills. And we also, together with those projects, learned things like technical writing, scientific writing, presentation skills, which I found very valuable. Like at the time, you're like, as a student, you're like, really? Like technical writing and so on. But now I'm actually really grateful that we learned this in university, because I've come across people who haven't. And then it's actually quite difficult at times.
Oh, absolutely.
We do a lot of reporting.
Oh, absolutely. I've done lots of podcasts and I do a lot of audiobook work and I do a lot of work in the corporate sector. And the amount of people who can't present ideas, you know, it's a really crucial skill.
Exactly, yeah. And not to spend too much time presenting. A lot of people always run over their time limits and so on.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was actually very valuable.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, fascinating. I want your job. Can we swap? It just sounds very cool.
I'm not sure if I'm as good as you doing your job.
So my last question is, what has been your biggest challenge you've had to overcome?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Your biggest challenge so far, like what has been your biggest challenge?
Oh, that's a good question.
It can be anything.
Yeah, I think my bachelor was probably the biggest challenge.
Yes.
Because there were also a few things that I wasn't quite interested in that were taught and you're just like pushing through.
Yeah.
But it's just a thing that you need to overcome, because then in your master's, you can then focus on the bits that are
of interest to you. Yeah.
And so then it's way more fun.
Yeah.
And like here at UDelf, we also, once we were in our master's, we had way more contact with the professors and the PhDs. And you can even notice that the professors can teach courses that they're actually enjoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say, the bachelor was definitely the most painful part of the career. But after that, it only got better.
I guess that's the thing, isn't it, with anyone starting out in a career, is you got to get the general kind of overview. And then as you zero in on what you want to do, it becomes more and more enjoyable and entertaining. And the drive gets stronger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And once you've got that foundation, you know, your degree and you've built some skills and knowledge.
Yeah.
It's also, if you realize, let's say, aerospace is not my thing.
You can switch.
It's relatively easy to switch.
Yeah.
I feel like once you've got the gist of engineering and you know, your first principles and whatever, and you're adaptable, you can then change to almost any field. Not every field, but there's a lot that you can choose from.
Do you think you will go into automotive at some stage?
Oh, I haven't fully let go.
Yeah.
I'm still a huge fan. I did really enjoy my time at AMG.
Yeah.
I had a great team that I was working with. But at the moment, I do enjoy the challenges that come with the complexity of our space systems.
Yes.
To me, it's not what industry I am. It's
the problem you're solving.
Yeah, correct. Like, I'm just interested in like the technology. Where can I find some cool, complex problems? And that's where I go. Doesn't have to be space or aircraft or automotive.
I think on that note, thank you very much for talking to me. It's been really fascinating.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good luck in the future for all the things that you do. Hopefully you'll do some interesting projects after you've done the space plane.
Thank you.